I Can Feel the Draw. Written by Flower Parrish and read by K-Burb. This is a Clone Wars fic rated teen and up audiences for the relationship between Fox slash Quinlan that is tagged with pre-Quinlan slash Fox slash John established relationship, developing friendships, plotting, canon divergence, and implied slash reference torture. Fox's comm chimes. This is unexpected, because Fox has his comm set to silent for all communications, with the exceptions being a buzz for priority alerts in the command chat, a buzz for guard commander messages, and a chime for Quinlan's comms. Quinlan almost never sends messages. He holocalls or he shows up in Fox's office at 2 a.m. with Caff. He has also been undercover for 3 months, so Fox scrambles for his comm the moment it chimes with a desperation he would be embarrassed about if anyone was here to see it. Luckily, his office is empty of other people, although there's enough formwork trade-in weight for two or three full-grown clones. Fox fumbles the comm, swipes open the message, and reads, "Got a present for you." The message is vague in a way that means Quinn doesn't want to share confidential intel over any line, no matter how secure it may be. And this is far from the most secure line they have. No hint to check another line, though, just this. Enough to infer that he's coming back soon and will be bringing a surprise. Fox hates surprises. "It better come with some good calf," he sends back. All he gets is a smiley face in return. He'd be embarrassed about the way that smile emoticon makes him smile down at his comm, helplessly fond, but no one's here to see that either, so he'll allow himself the weakness this once. Quinn doesn't show up for 3 more days, and when he does, it's not to Fox's office. Instead, he gets a message from Thayer saying it's past his bedtime, which sounds like something Thayer would normally say, and thus made it the perfect choice for a code that something is going down in the barracks. Fox glances at his endless piles of flimsy work and sighs. It'll still be there tomorrow, and it replenishes faster than he can handle it, no matter what he does. Might as well leave it to go handle whatever's got Thayer's hackles up. Fox is surprised when Quinn meets him outside of the barracks, melting out of the shadows as Fox approaches. Normally, he'd make a snide comment about Quinn taking the title of Shadow too literally, but there's something off in his expression. It makes Fox bite back the usual banter and ask instead, "What's wrong?" Quinn glances up at the streetcars for a moment and then turns a grin on Fox. "Can't I have just missed you?" Fox rolls his eyes but takes the hint. He pushes past Quinlan and inside the guard barracks building, watching out of the corner of his eye as some of the Jedi's tension eases when they're safely locked away from the prying eyes and ears that are everywhere on Coruscant. "Talk," Fox demands. And some part of him still marvels that he can speak that way to a general. Not his general, sure, because the guard doesn't have one, but Quinlan's the closest thing to theirs, despite that. Quinlan is also reckless and kind, and more of a realist than the other generals Fox has met, and that makes it easy to treat him like a person rather than an idealized figurehead of all that is right and moral and good. "I found someone," Quinn says quietly. "Dooku had him." "And you brought him here," Fox demands. They don't speak of their suspicions. Tap them out in code under blankets if they have to say anything at all. But surely Quinlan, of all people, knows why Coruscant is the least safe place for someone the Sith wants. "I have a plan," Quinlan promises, which might have made Fox feel better if he didn't immediately follow up with, "But you aren't going to like it." Quinlan lays out his plan. He's right. Fox doesn't like it. "The guard doesn't need a general," he says. "It is true, and it isn't. The guard doesn't need a general, yes, because they have one." "I can't be here as often as I'm needed," Quinlan says quietly. "And he needs to be somewhere safe. That's with you." Fox closes his eyes. He tries to ride the wave of feelings inspired by the implication that Quinlan doesn't trust anyone, not even the other Jedi, with this man. But he trusts Fox. It's vulnerability and intimacy in a way so much more devastating than anything so simple as sex might be. And it doesn't ebb, just keeps drowning Fox in vicious waves of sentiment. "You said the Sith had him." "Yes," Quinn agrees. Quiet, solemn. "He escaped, and I got him to safety." "You think a traumatized Jedi who was tortured by a Sith will be safest here?" Fox asks Riley. He doesn't need to say what they both suspect. He knows he doesn't need to. "I think each of you would die rather than let anything happen to the other. And I think he's the person we need if we are going to survive this." Fox wants to keep protesting. It's half instinct and half actual disagreement, because there's no way he's the best person to help a traumatized Jedi. Quinlan is just blinded by his own opinion of Fox, but it's hardly an objective one. But then he takes one look at the Jedi that Quinn has dragged home like a stray pet, and he's ragged. Curled up in threadbare robes, hair long and tangled, face hidden. Fox catches a few glimpses of scars on what skin he can see, notices the bulk of muscle underneath the way he's trying to minimize the space he takes up, and feels something tug deep in his chest. "Criff," he sighs in Quinn's direction. "Fine." Raising his voice, he asks, "What's your name, Jetty?" The man looks up, expression cautious, eyes pale. "John." Fox hums and nods. "John, you agree to this idiot's plan?" It's telling that Quinn doesn't protest, doesn't even make a half-hearted attempt to defend himself. He lets Fox take the lead, hangs back, and just listens. "Yes," John agrees quietly after a few beats of silence. "I need to be here." Fox closes his eyes, sets this knowledge against his understanding of the world, and nods as it slots into place. "All right," he agrees. "Welcome to the Coruscant Guard, John." The end. In my left hand, there is the familiar. In my right hand, there's the great unknown. I can see the madly different grass there, but I'm drawn to wild the nights at home.